As I want to begin at the outset with a couple of words of introduction and thanks. First of all, most important thanks goes to Rav Neuberger, who has taken time out of his extraordinarily busy schedule to come and spend the day with us, even as a family simcha, I believe, tonight back on the East Coast or something. So he's kind of coming this morning, we'll go back this afternoon. It's really a pleasure for us and an honor that he has agreed to be here and share his Torah with us. Neuberger is a Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva University. Talmidim generations and really the rabbi's rabbi. As a Rav, as a Posek, for Rabbanim all over the country, all over the world. I can't tell you the number of times that I personally have called with Neuberger for guidance and advice on matters from medical ethics and Tarat HaMishpacha and other invaluable resource halachic insights that he offers to Talmidim in the field and to Rabbanim in the field. Really, for me personally, it's an honor to have with Neuberger here with us today. I also want to thank Yael and Gail Miller for sponsoring today's Kol Yom Rishon program, to Yeshiva University for their assistance in enabling us to orchestrate the entire adult education program for this year, and to all of the sponsors who have generously contributed to the Scholar in Residence Sinai Scholars program this year. This is the last of the events that we had scheduled in that context for this year. Zot Hashem, over the course of the summer, we'll begin to plan for next year. But to all of you, we want to thank you, and certainly to Jonti and to Judy in the office and to Renee for organizing the lunch, and for everybody who had a hand and a role in making this program happen, we thank you. If you are interested in staying, Rabbi Neuberger will be giving the shiur now, and then we'll have a lunch and learn. If you have reservations for the lunch, great. If you would like to stay for the lunch, then, even if you don't have reservations, please speak to Jonti. I'm sure we can make it happen. And in all cases, we are looking forward to a very inspiring morning of Torah learning. There will be two topics, the shiur now on the topic of Yerushalayim, followed by the lunch and learn upstairs and on the topic of preparation for Matan Torah and the issues, challenges of chinuch in our generation. So, with no further ado, I give you a Rav Yaakov Neuberger Shlita.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your very warm welcome and to see the many connections that I have over the course of the years from Yeshiva, from Bergenfield Teaneck, and the warmth of your reception is a mirror of the warmth of your Rav and your Rebbetzin. And as your Rav mentioned, we have many conversations over the course of the year, and I'm always impressed that you're blessed with a great Talmud Chacham, a refined individual with a great clarity, both in terms of his teachings as well as in terms of the way he delivers and his concern for you. I was in one of the local bookstores in my town, and I came across a new sefer that was published, and that is the record of the presentations that Rav Shaul Yisraeli gave over the course of probably two decades, maybe even longer, since the time that the state was established, and more recently since the time that Yerushalayim was conquered. Rav Shaul Yisraeli was one of the great minds of the Jewish people. He was not that well known outside of his own circles. He was a very quiet person. He was a Talmud of Rav Kook. He was one of the poskim of Yerushalayim. He was in the chief rabbinate. He wrote several svarim that have to do with the coming back of the Jews to Eretz Yisrael, and halachically, how do we re-engage in so many of the mitzvos? And one of the most telling descriptions of Rav Shaul Yisraeli, which says it all, is that I met a student of Soloveitchik, and this is going back probably to the 60s, and he was leaving America to go to Eretz Yisrael, And he asked Rav Soloveitchik, to whom should I turn to when I need guidance and when I need the decisions? And he said, you go to Rav Shaul Yisraeli. And he was not that well, and Arisuk was not that well known. He was a person who did not like, he did not enjoy being peppered with questions. He was a person who enjoyed studying and writing. I remember that when I was in Eretz Yisrael in 73, and we wanted to, then Rav Shaul Yisraeli was the Rosh Hashiva of Berkos HaRav. He would say, Rav Avram Shapiro, who later became the Rav HaRoshi of Israel, would say the Shir on Monday, and Rav Shaul Yisraeli would say the Shir on Thursday. And after the Shir, he was available, but otherwise, if you wanted to catch Rav Shaul Yisraeli, you had to know where he davened. He davened every morning in the Vesikim, of the local orphanage. And that's how you'd catch him a few moments after that. Why am I mentioning this? Because as I was studying this new Sefer, there are three lines which I think catch the mood of Yom Yerushalayim. This was penned in Tov Shin Lamed. So just 3 years after Yerushalayim was returned to us. Kishechazarnu lifnei shalosh shanim el ha-kotel. We came back 3 years ago to the Kotel. Asher haya shomem v'galmud. That was lonely and desolate. Abandoned. Kisheshuv yocholnu lilatef et ha-avanim ha-gdolot. When we were once again able to caress these large stones. Asher echeziku ma'amad b'meshech alfei shanim. And these large stones maintained themselves over the course of thousands of years. Asher nishmru eitanim, that they maintained their giant stature. Benid b'cheihem mimlei zoz, each one in its row, unmoved. Hirgashnu et nishimat hanetzach. We felt that we touched eternity. We felt in touch with the eternity of Klal Yisrael. And I think we relive these lines every time that we come in an appropriate mood to the Kotel. And what I want to discuss is some of the ideas which come to mind as we celebrate Yom Yerushalayim just next Matzoi Shabbat, a week from this morning. Again, so impressive to have so many people come out and study Torah on a Memorial Day weekend when so many other things that have to get taken care of. And one of the very current ideas that come to mind, and Rabbi Israeli pointed this out in his time, he says the ambiguity which the nations of the world have with respect to establishing Yerushalayim as the capital of Israel. Right, that's on our minds over these years because of the president's bold move. He said, but why is it so ambiguous? Why is it so hard for the nations of the world to come to recognize? So he saw that in spiritual terms. Because Yerushalayim is described as Ir Shechumra Yachdov. It is the city that joins the Yerushalayim Sholmala with Yerushalayim Sholmata. It's the city that connects a heavenly sense, the spirituality of Klal Yisrael, and the Yerushalayim Sholmata, city which is a city that looks like other cities, transportation like other cities, buildings, a culture of its own, a fully running modern city. That's the Yerushalayim Sholmata. To have the Yerushalayim Sholmala connect with Yerushalayim Sholmata, so for us that's the Jewish vision coming to full expression. But that makes a world which is much more focused on the material uncomfortable, and that makes a world that doesn't connect to the demands of a spiritual life gives him a sense of discomfort. And he suggests that's why the nations of the world have difficulty in recognizing what Yerushalayim really is. But for us, that means that as Yerushalayim becomes more and more recognized as the Ir Shechubra Lo Yachdav, so we are seeing more and more steps of the unfolding redemption, the unfolding Geula. And therefore it makes sense that we should be able to see certain insights of the unfolding redemption through Yerushalayim. And the very first one is you can see from the very first line of the sources. Vikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asos Chizkiyo Mashiach. Going back to probably the 4th or 5th century before the Common Era, Chizkiyo was the king. It was a good time for the Jews, because Chizkiyo HaMelech brought the spirituality of Klal Yisrael back to a great, great extent. And Sancheirav challenged Klal Yisrael. Sancheirav was moved the Assyrian Empire throughout the Mideast, and they halted by Yerushalayim. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asos Chizkiyo Mashiach. And with Yerushalayim threatened, those who remember 67 can remember how Eretz Yisrael was threatened, and Yerushalayim had every reason to believe that if this general was able to take over the empires of the world, and they had now marched through the land of Israel, so Yerushalayim was heavily threatened. It wouldn't survive. Would not survive. And as you've studied from the sources, and as you know, so there was a miraculous event. Chizkiyahu davens, Hoshiyanu no mi yodoi, v'yedu kol mamlechoi soros ki ato Hashem alekim levadecha. You have in the second source, Melachim Beis Perek Yutes. Chizkiyahu davens in the formula of davening. Hoshiyanu no miyodo, save us. And God, we will attribute this Yeshua to you. That is the formula of davening. That's the formula of davening that we adopt in Rosh Hashanah. V'yedu kol mamlechoi soros ki ato Hashem alekim levadecha. V'ibalayla hu, was that night. V'yetzei malach Hashem. V'yach b'machane asher meya shemonu mechamisho olef. V'yashkimu b'aboike v'nikulam figarim meisim. One night, the entire army was destroyed. 185,000. And the Jews woke up the next morning to see the hand of God so clearly displayed. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that to be the time of Mashiach. It was during the first Beis HaMikdash. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted now to be able to say, this is it. We don't need to have a Golus of 70 years. We don't need to have this upcoming week's parsha. We don't need to have a second Beis HaMikdash. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asos Chizkiyo Mashiach. That was going to be it. The times would improve and the first Beis HaMikdash would endure forever. Malchus Beis David would remain. The incoming of the northern kingdom would come back and become one with the southern kingdom. There would be a form of Kibbutz Golias. There would be the Gog u'Magog, the battle of all ages with Sancheirav. Kibbutz Golias would be the northern kingdom coming back. All the pieces would fit in. And it didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? As you know, because Chizkiyahu did not seize that moment. And he didn't say hallel. He didn't give the appropriate expression. He said, V'yedu kol mamlechoi soros. He did not keep his end of the deal. That expression of Bikesh La'asos Chizkiyahu Mashiach, that event in and of itself, without trying to figure out what happened, that's the idea of lost opportunities. which is part of Klal Yisrael's history. There have been moments of lost times. Times when the Kadosh Baruch Hu was ready. Of Bikesh. That's part of the story of the Jewish diaspora, Jewish exile. And I think about it many times because there's a remarkable insight by Rav Matisyahu Solomon, the Mashgiach of Lakish and Refuah Shleima. He says, he points out that when we record the 13 principles of faith of the Rambam, so the last one is Animamin Bamuna Shleima Bivias HaMashiach, and then we say Va'af Al Pi Sheyisma Meya, even though it's going to be delayed. Achakalo, I'll still wait for him. So he points out it's the only article of faith where we say Va'af Al Pi, and even though it's hard, even though there are detractors, we don't say I believe in the unity of God, and even though there are major religions that don't believe in the unity of God, I will still believe in the unity of God. We don't say, I believe in the prophets, even though, AFLP, that there are many who don't believe in the validity of prophecy. So why is it that when it comes to Mashiach, we say, Va'af al pi sheyisma meya. So he explains, sheyisma meya doesn't mean it's going to be delayed. Yisma meya means that it's going to be delayed because of us. Va'af al pi, and even though there were opportunities, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu was ready to bring Mashiach, and we let them go, that's an af al pi. How do we know that we know we can believe that God wants to bring and God intends to bring? But how do we know that if we don't take the opportunities, that they will forever be there? That's why the principle of faith is Va'af al pi sheyisma, even though there'll be times when Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lavi Mashiach, there'll be times when we messed up, when we didn't take those opportunities, Kadosh Baruch Hu was still committed to keep those opportunities open. And that's one of the great messages that Yerushalayim through Chizkiyahu teaches us. Why didn't Chizkiyahu say Shira? Something that is so obvious to us, to say Shira at moments of salvation, to say a halal on a Yom Ha'atzmaut and a Yom Yerushalayim, to say Pirkei Hoda. So Chazal addressed this. The Navi himself points out in Divrei Hayomim, the third source, Pasuk Chaf Hei, V'lo Yichigmul. The top of the second side, the loyich egmul olav eishivak yechizkiyahu, that Chizkiyahu did not pay back in kind. Ki gava libo, what does it mean? Didn't pay back in kind. He said, "I'm going to say shira." V'yedu kol mamlochay saaretz ki ato Hashem olekim vadecha. The loyich egmul olav eishiv ki gava libo. As a result, God became angry with the Jews at that time. What's Kigaval Libo? So Chazal addresses in the Medrash of Shir HaShirim, and that's the fourth source. And Chazal explained in the bold face, Elo Gaval Libo Milomar Shira. What did he say? It's hard to imagine. How are you going to explain this? What does Eric have to do with not saying Shira? Omron. Kevar mudas zos b'chol ha'aretz. Chizkiyahu said, why do I need to say Shira? I promised God, v'yedu kol mamlochay sa'aretz ki ato Hashem elekim levadecha. I said to God, we say this all the time. We say this several times a day. Refeinu Hashem v'nei refei, ki silaseinu ota. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent us a refuah, because we will attribute that refuah to you. we will give you praise for that Yeshua. That's again the way that Jews daven. Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's what we say in our Shemoneh Esrei over and over again. Baruch Ato Hashem, Mivarech Hashanim, give us Parnasa, we will recognize your Mefarnes. Give us Yerushalayim, V'yeidu Kol Mamlechais Aretz. So Chizkiyahu said, Kivar Mudas Eisbuchal Aretz. I don't need to say Shira. I don't have to sing. Everyone knows. Sancheirav, his army didn't make it back. There are several stories as to what happened to Sancheirav when he got back to the capital. But if the Assyrian Empire was stopped in its tracks by Yerushalayim, and its entire army was decimated, people know about this. And they know that Yerushalayim didn't defend itself. And they know that it happened in one night. So, what I promised to do is done. God did it by himself. Doesn't need me. So the question is, so, what went wrong? Kadosh Baruch Hu was criticized Chizkiyahu. We understand Chizkiyahu. So one of the suggestions comes from our hallow. See, when Moshe Rabbeinu had to say Shira, did he have to say Shira? The events of Kriyas Yamsuf, were they known out before the Shira was sung? What did he say? How do we know? What does it say? It was that Shama Yisro, right? That those are the facts that we know that Yisro Mashemu Shama Uba. But and we can even it's even clearer in the Shira, right? Shamu Amim Yergozun. All the nations heard and were shaking. Chil Achaz Yoshvei Peloshes. All those who lived in Peloshes, the land of Plishtim, were trembling. Ozne Valu Alufe Edom. Then the chieftains of Edom were in shock. Eilei Mov, the powerful people of Moab, Yochazemara, Namoigu, Kol, Yoshvei Kanaan. All the people, all civilized society was melted away. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, we still have to say Shira. It's not. We want to accomplish announcing God's accomplishments. But look at what Chazal pointed out in the Gemara Pesachim, the fifth source. Kach Omar Rabbi Shmuel b'shem Ovi Rabbi Yosi. May dechsev halu es Hashem kol goyim. Right, we say this in Hallel. Halu Hashem kol goyim shabachu kol umim ki govar aleinu chazdo. The nations of the world should give praise. Why? Because God has taken care of us. Why should they say praise? Because God took care of us. Alu Hashem kol goyim, shabachu kol umim, ki govar oleinu chazdo. So they should be grateful when they're saved, not when we're saved. There's a fascinating interpretation by the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says that we see this every so often. For example, we know that it was maybe three years ago on Rosh Hashanah. So Jewish people witnessed a tremendous Yeshua. Maybe it was 4 years ago. That we found after the last battle in Gaza, and we discovered the tunnels. So we also discovered the plans that the terrorists had to launch an attack through the tunnels on Rosh Hashanah. Now, if we wouldn't have found that notebook, there would have been a nest that we would not know about. The Palestinians would know about it. We found the notebook, so we became aware of it. So Chassam Sofer says there are many, many notebooks we didn't find. There are many times when the terrorists have plans and they're foiled, and we were not did not merit to have the next miracle of even finding out about it. How, but the nations of the world, they know about these things. So there'll be a time when the umos ha'olam halalu Hashem kol goyim shamchu kol umim, when they'll tell us, they'll bring in all their notebooks, and they'll tell us the many, many miracles ki gover aleinu chazda. When Chazal look at this pasuk, so they say, umos ha'olam maya v'detayu halu as Hashem kol goyim agvuros v'neflois to ovid v'adayu kol shechein onu de govar aleinu chazda. Pasuk says shamchu kol umim halu kol goyim, the nations of the world should praise God. However, Klal Yisrael praises God ki gavar aleinu chazdo. What's the difference between what the nations of the world say and what we say? Shavachu kol umim. They should give praise. Agvurois v'nifloiz on all of the miracles God has done. However, Jews, we have to say praise ki gavar aleinu chazdoi. So what's the difference between the two statements? Was that? What's the difference between what Chizkiyahu thought he had to do and the way that the Hashgacha says he should have done? What was the, what's the step? Chizkiyahu said they all know. Then Chazal, the Navi, says, that's good, but there's something else. King Govar Aleinu Chazdo. Who's that? The recipients have to express profound gratitude. So Chizkiyahu said, I did what I'm supposed to do. I said, give us a miracle, and God, you'll be known throughout the world. What's greater? That every person should know God exists. That's what miracles are for. That people should know God's in control, that there is a higher power. And so we often point out that Kriyas Yamsuf was a moment of Mashiach. Ramban points out. Because all of the nations recognized God. They knew there was a creator. So that's Mashiach's time. So Chizkiyahu says if we accomplish that, what more? Chazal say, the Navi said there's one more. Ki gov aliva, you thought you had already achieved. You thought you were there already. You thought it was Mashiach's time already. But what was missing is ki gov aleinu chazdei. The Jews should have responded and said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you did it for us. Not that God exists, that he's a powerful Hashgacha Pratis, but somebody should have gone up and said, but it's for the Jewish people. But we have to be established as an Orla Goyim. That we have to establish ourselves as being able to communicate further what God wants of the world. So the next great lesson in the story of Yerushalayim for us. First, Yerushalayim is the vehicle which God communicates lost opportunities. Next is Yerushalayim communicates our obligation to personalize the miracles that God gives us. I remember, many of us remember, the miracles of 1967. Many of us remember, I was a young child, I remember the newspapers. One of the bold memories that I have is the diagrams on the front page of the newspaper. And there was a diagram, there was a map of Israel, and Israel is smaller than it is right now. And I remember the black arrows from all different sides. And on top of every arrow was the number of the airplanes, the Air Force, and the whatever they had, the missiles, the bombs, every single nation that was poised against Israel. And that's how it was as Nasser was doing his agitating. And day after day, we would see him in the front page. And then to see all of this turn around, it's a watershed event that separates generations. The generation that saw 67 live through it is a generation that the merit, the zechus that we had to see the miracles unfold. Our children hear the stories, but ain't a doma. It's a different event. And when you personalize that, what it meant to us, we were growing up, our parents were overwhelmingly survivors. The school that I went to, I remember the one or two children who had grandparents. So we lived with tremendous questions. We lived with tremendous pikpukim. And 1967, what didn't resolve all the questions that we had as kids? But it gave us the strength to live with those questions. The thing in Nisan, being a generation that saw miracles, again, doesn't answer questions. Doesn't resolve. But you need strength to be able to live with questions that aren't resolved. That's what it means to say Shira. To say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Nisim, V'yedu kol ha'om, that is an accomplishment which one cannot belittle. And that's what Chizkiah was saying. We have Yemos HaMashiach, if every nation recognizes God, we're done. V'yedu kol ha'aretz. Everything else is going to be footnotes, right? It's all child's play after that. Because Baruch Hu said no. It has to be the Klal Yisrael, the person, the people, the community, the nation that has miracles done to them, they have to introspect. How did we process this? What did it do for us? Ki gavar oleinu chazda. The Yisraeli says in this new sefer, he says, Shechiyanu v'kimonu v'giyanu. So Shechiyanu, that God has given us life again. Because when miracles happen, when great events happen, you have a new sense of chiyus, you live life again. V'kimonu, that God allowed us to survive and see this. What's v'giyanu, that we reach this? His v'giyanu means that we grasp it. That we understand what's happening to us. And the person says the bracha v'giyanu means l'arbenes l'omek ha'inyan, to see what's really going on. Not everybody has that zechus. Sometimes we are zochet to have miracles and we are so excited that and so happy and so rejuvenated. We don't get to the v'giyanu to grasp the enormity of what it means that God is looking out for me. That God has given us this great gift. So that's the second great insight that Mashiach catalogs for the Jewish people through this event of Chizkiyoh. The third is Dodi Shalach Yado Min Achor. And I don't know if we would fully appreciate what Chazal is saying over here if not for our detractors. Let me explain. The story of Dodi Shalach Yado Min Achor is a story we all know. We say, Elaine, at the end of Pesach, that and it's the moment when the bride, the Kala, it's the first moment when she realizes, I messed up, right? And at first she's saying, he'll come back, there'll be other opportunities. Chosin's at the door, they've been apart, they've pined for each other, but it's just not a good time right now. Right now, I'm dressed already, I'm in my bedclothes already, get up, and it's too much. Right? It's hard for us to even read the story, because we know the sequence of events. But it happens. It happens to us all the time. It's not convenient right now. So we let things slip by. All of a sudden she realized when he took his sholach yodom in achor means when he removed his hand from the doorknob. Then she began to realize this minute happened so soon again. Then she begins to realize I should have gotten out of bed. So Chazal, they say that's a strange phrase, Shalach Yado Min Hachor. He removed his hand. It should be Hesir Es Yado Min Hachor. It should be Hesir Es Yado Min HaKaftor, from the doorknob. What does it mean? Shalach Yado. Again, the pshat is he removed his hand from the chor, from the hole. So Chazal explained old-time doorknobs were insets. They were holes in the wall, and they had a ring that popped up, and you then remove it. But they were kept, the door was flush, so to speak. This is the, and because they were holes in the wall, they became damp and dark and dirty, and they attracted the shrotzim, little insects. Right? That's the development of the doorknob. Now you know why we have outies, right? Instead of inside. Right? So apparently Chazal explained that when you went to open the door in olden times, you'd put your hand and all of a sudden you'd have this uncomfortable feeling of everything was moving all of a sudden. All of a sudden all the insects went away. Right? But I guess if you did that every single time you opened the door, you got used to it. So that's why it's called the chor, the hole. Shalach yado can mean he removed his hand, or it can also mean shalach yado, he sent his hand. Right? So Chazal say it's a double entendre. Yes, he removed his hand, minachor. But you also have to realize sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu sends Yeshuos to Klal Yisrael, sends us Yeshuos, miracles, reprieve through the most unlikely circumstances. To the chor, through the dark and damp places. And that was the second base of Mikdash. Who do we credit as having built the second base of Mikdash? Koresh. Right? Koresh was the one who let us go back to Eretz Yisrael. It's true that afterward Ezra fell in line. But historically, who was the one that we have to attribute? Koresh opened up the doors. When Koresh was persuaded to close the doors, he closed the doors. And when he's persuaded to open, he opened the doors. So the Chazal say, the Jews said, Kol nisim shosisa al yidei Koresh. Shouldn't you have, you had the Neil. You had Tzadikim. You had a, is, does this make sense? So Chazal, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, because you weren't ready. May I, Echila. You weren't ready for that kind of nest. Of course, I would prefer to bring my miracles through Daniel and through Ezra and Nehemiah and to the great Jews. But for that kind of a miracle, when it's so blatant, so open, when it makes so much sense, and you can watch it, you can see it, you have to be ready for that. You weren't ready. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once again, God wanted, may I chamamor achila, I waited for this, so I had to bring you a low level. A tier 2, a tier 3 miracle. A tier 3 miracle means you come with Koresh. Right? It's not the way you... One of the great lessons of Jewish history. When I say detractors, because in ever since 48, even before that, one of the great concerns that the anti-Zionists, the religious anti-Zionists, had against the Zionists is, you really think it's through Herzl? You really think it's going to be through name? Put the name of anybody. I don't want to criticize people. There, God's going to bring Mashiach through a person who's not putting on tefillin every night. Can you imagine such a thing? He's not Shomer Shabbos. One of the great lessons of history. Yeah, we would be roi if we would be merit that kind of a geula, Kadosh Baruch Hu would bring that kind of a geula. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't expect or learn to expect that redemption comes from unlikely places. That's what Chazal are pointing out. Sholach, if we would have gotten up and gotten dressed and if we wouldn't be sleeping, it wouldn't be Yodim and Achor, but we're sleeping. It's too much of a tirchah to get ourselves gav. So then Kadosh Baruch Hu says, but I want to bring, I'm going to do it through an unlikely circumstance. And now, the fourth idea which Yerushalayim catalogs for us is a very difficult story to interpret in Tanakh. And your Rav is far better equipped to interpret difficult passages in Tanakh. So I'm going to squeak through this, and at another time, Rabbi Shulman will explain to you in greater depth. But there is, we did not get Yerushalayim back, we didn't get Yerushalayim initially, easily. Navi records that when Yeshua came to establish the Jews in Israel, when it's again, it's a very difficult part of Tanakh. We don't realize how difficult it is because Yeshua is the one sefer that we are successful in teaching in yeshivas, right? That's the one sefer before, so for some reason, we peter out teaching. Everybody learns Yeshua. Everybody gets inspired to learn Yeshua, to learn Navi, gets through Yeshua, right? So we are used to the story of the Jews conquering Israel, but not conquering Israel. Somehow, the war effort, so to speak, just petered out. And there's a list of how far Yeshua got. And the city of the Yebusi, which is the early name for Yerushalayim, La Yochlu, we did not get it. We weren't able to get it. And then when we fast forward, and David HaMelech now wants to take the city of Yebus, so then there's this very strange response. Vayomer leDavid, at the very top of the eighth source. And they say to David, Leisavai Heina, you can't come here until you remove the blind and the lame. Leimor, as if to say, Lo Yovoi David Heina, David won't come here. Who are the blind and the lame? Again, there's some very, very interesting interpretations. The one that seems to be Chazal's approach is that the blind is Yitzchak, because Yitzchak, we know, couldn't see when he gave the brachos over. The lame is Yaakov Avinu, because he hobbled away from the battle with the Sorish Lazer. And the blind and the lame, Yitzchak and Yaakov, were heirs to the promise that Avram and Yitzchak made to Abimelech, and that promise was going to be for several generations. That if Abimelech and his people behave, then we will not rise up against them. So Chazal say Yeshua didn't get the city where Yitzchak Avinu sacrificed himself. The city of Yerushalayim was the prize. How do you know it's the prize? Because what was the name of the king of Yerushalayim in antiquity? First time we come up to Yerushalayim, Malki Tzedek, means if you call your king the righteous emperor, that's a very, very good sign. That means the values are strong values. So Yerushalayim apparently attracted a group that established a culture of tzedek. Later on, it seems we're called Adonai Tzedek, masters of righteousness. So it means Yerushalayim was the prize of civilization. Claudius' role was to take this prize and infuse it with spirituality. So Yeshua doesn't take it. So Chazal said he couldn't take it because there was an oath that was still in place. Avraham made an oath, and that prevented his progeny. But the oath was Lenini Ulenechti. So at some point, and this is where the numbers are hard to figure out, that it was still in place and still in force for Yeshua, but several generations later, for David HaMelech, it already, the oath no longer obtained. It was a time bound, it was a time limited oath, limited offer. So David had the first opportunity to take Yevusi. So that's what they said, you'll never take it, because we have Iver Upiseyach. According to one medrash, they had caricatures of a lame and a blind standing up. The welcome to Yerushalayim was welcome to Yevusi, and it was a blind and it was a lame, because that's what protected them. That's what would stave off the Jewish enterprise. But they didn't know that time had already run out, and they could no longer rest assured on this oath. And that's the story of David and Melech being able to take Yerushalayim. What I find fascinating is that it was a Shavua, it was an oath, that kept us from getting Yerushalayim. And I find it fascinating because of the Gemara and Ksuvis that we all know, also because of these three oaths have driven a wedge within the Jewish people. So you all know, and I understand Rabbi Shulman gave a Shabbos HaGadol drasha, the answer is being in Toronto, one of the advantages of being in the Beis HaMedrash, to hear what's going on. That's the purpose of the Beis HaMedrash. That Chazal explained there were three oaths that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took. And Chazal bases on a passage in Shir HaShirim, and the three oaths are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took an oath, Shal Yimrudu Bu'umos HaOlam, that we will not rise up against the nations of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took an oath that Shal Yalu B'choma, that we will not take Israel by force. And you took an oath that the nations of the world should not oppress us. Yosem Midai, we hard to know what that means. And again, there is great question how to interpret this Gemara. There are numerous approaches, but I do not want to undermine a future Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. But I think that the first observation is that it's an oath. We are held back from getting Yerushalayim by it was a shvuah that we made, Avraham made. Presumably, and I say presumably because there's much question of are we bound by heaven? We are bound by Avraham's oath. It was made by a human being, our great grandfather. Are we bound by God's oath? It's a great question whether that would bind us. But I find it fascinating that it's oaths, that it's shvuahs, that there are barriers. That there are barriers that are insurmountable. If it was a military barrier, surmountable, God can do a miracle. We can outsmart them. But there's one barrier that we can't move around. And that's a shvua that we took. That's the integrity of the people. That's a promise we gave. That's God demands that kind of integrity. V'lo yochlu, there was no way they could take Yevus, they could take the city, because what are we going to do? The Jewish people are going to get Yerushalayim and violate an oath that was made to the inhabitants. Inviolable. It's not visible. It's not something that you could... There's no strategy. You just have to wait. And that's so much of the story of Klal Yisrael. Waiting. Of having this insurmountable. And I believe that the insurmountable creates the tshuka. If all you can do is wait, then you pine for something. If there's something you can do about it, then you get distracted. We'll do something. We'll file for papers, and we will put an army together, and we will beg the nations of the world, and we'll have a plan. But if it's an oath, there's no plan. All you do is wait. And pine, right? God forbid somebody is ill, and so then you go from doctor to doctor, you read paper after paper, trying to figure out the different strategies. But once you've exhausted all the research, all the medical knowledge, you've overturned every single stone, and all the opinions of the world say, they either say it's now in God's hands, or they say it's up to time. Let's see what happens. That's when you begin. There's nothing else to do but wait and to pine and to yearn. In 1948, 1948. This was a story that was told in 1967. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook told this to his Talmid in 67. He said that in 1948, the Sunday morning after the state was declared, he said, I made my way, I think he waited till after Shabbos, I think. He said, I made my way to the home of Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap in Shaarei Chesed. Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap was the confidant of Rav Cook. The two people had similar aspirations and minds and spirits. And he made his way to Shaarei Chesed. We still have the building. It's about two blocks away from Wolfson. And he climbed up the steps and he comes to visit Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap. Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap is in a very terrible state of mind. He is terribly upset a few days after the state was declared. And Rav Yehuda sits next to him and he says, I came because you and I are the only ones who understand each other. And he describes how they looked at each other and they understood. They just signed away Yerushalayim. They accepted partition. That means the Jews couldn't have access. He says, we couldn't talk, we couldn't go in the streets. No one would understand us. There was celebration in the streets. There was great reason to celebrate. We had a state. 3 years after the Shoah, he says, the excitement in the street was palpable. It was celebrations and it was all appropriate. But you and I understand each other. So we have to sit here alone. If Cook then, I think, did not reveal this moment till 67. Because if you want to understand how I feel, you have to remember that moment when I sat alone with Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap. That's the idea of pining for something, of not being able to make peace without having Yerushalayim. Rav Shaul Yisraeli writes, and he wrote, and he said in 67, one of the great events, when he was describing, listening, all the different hergeshim and feelings that he had, is that until for the last 20 years, we could not go in Har Habayis. We could not go to Mokim HaMikdash. He said, we still cannot go to Har Habayis. Not getting involved in that halachic issue right now. He said, we still can't go to Har Habayis. We still can't go to Mokim HaMikdash. But now we can't go because we think we can't go. Now we can't go because the Torah says that you've limited access. Last 20 years we couldn't go because they wouldn't let us go. Not being able to go because we can't go, that's a reason to celebrate. I was thinking as I was on my way this morning, we read the pasuk yesterday, Eshem Soisai Tishmaru Umikdashi Tirau, Ani Hashem. That is the last pasuk of the giving of the Torah from our Sinai through Ohel Moed. In other words, we got the Torah back in Beshalach Yisro. Then ever since Yisro, throughout Vayikra, because Baruch Hu was giving us Moshe's recording mitzvahs, all the way through. I'm over time.
No, I just want to make sure.
I thought maybe in the old days you had tapes. Tapes would run out. Now there's we got to Vayikra. God is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah of our Sinai through the Ohel Moed. That's all of Vayikra. Next week, we already discussed the rewards and the consequences. After that, we're back to the narrative of Midbar. But till the end of Bahar, and that's one of the reasons that we began with the phrase Bar Sinai, we're still discussing the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai Moed. What's the very, very last phrase? Shab Sosai Tishmeru V'es Mikdashi Tirani Hashem. Es Mikdashi Tira'u. Not being able to go to the Mekomos HaMikdash. So, until we got it back in 67, we could not keep that mitzvah. The Goyim wouldn't let us keep the mitzvah. But after 67, we can keep that, and that's the sign-off, so to speak, of that part of the giving of the Torah. But I find so impressive about the three Shavuos is that now we look at them and we say, that's the roadmap that God chose to give us the state of Israel. The same passage, which for generations could not be understood at all. Can you imagine a Jew reading the Gemara in medieval times, saying, Shelo yalu b'choma. God took an oath that we will not force our way back to Israel. Shelo yimrdu b'umos. Can you imagine a Jew whose parents came out of the after 1492, the Inquisition, a Jew during the time of the pogroms, and under the Turkish rule, God needs to take an oath that we're going to rise up against the nation. We're going to force our way back to Israel. What is the Kodesh Baruch Hu talking about? It's a Gemara that only we can understand. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw there's going to be a time when the Jews would be organized, there'd be United Nations, there'd be a nation, there'd be a Haganah, there'd be an Irgun, there'd be a Lechi, and we would have the power. Limrod Ba'umos. We'd have the power of undermining the British mandate. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I want to give you the roadmap how this is going to happen. You know how you're going to get back Eretz Yisrael? When I am willing to give, when I will work it out that you don't have to go up against this oath. When I will work it out, there'll be a United League of Nations and there'll be a Balfour Declaration and there'll be United Nations. When you see that you're in the place that you will not need to be Moreid Bumos, you're watching God giving you redemption. So the Shvua that was given to Avram became the roadmap to get back to Yerushalayim. Once this Shvua has served its time, it's there for you. And these oaths are the roadmap to get back, and that's one of the great, great gifts that our generation has. That there's so many Gemaras, so many Psukim that could not be understood, could not be read, and we're able to read them. Where do we see our events? So Parshas Bamidbar, you're going to have in the Haftorah of Parshas Bamidbar, I think it's the second Perek of Hosea. You can probably tell it to me by Peh. And I put you on the spot, but you do it with ease. All right? There it says, again, we say it as Haftorah in 2 weeks. Lachain, I think it's Ani Holachtia Bamidbar. You know about Peh, and I can't even find him in a Tanakh. Okay, thank you very much. L'chein, hinei anochi mifateo, I will seduce the Jewish people, holachti on midbar, and I will take them to the desert, v'dibarti aliba, and I will speak to them lovingly. Chazal say, what's holachti on midbar? I'll take them to the desert. V'harei the midbar Yehuda. And they take us back to Midbar Yehuda. 1967, the miracles of Yom Yerushalayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu took us back to Midbar Yehuda. Kadosh Baruch Hu says the upcoming Geula will be cataloged by Yerushalayim. We will learn from Yerushalayim that there are lost opportunities, and we pray that we will not be one of those generations. And we live with pachad that we might be. And we learn from Yerushalayim that we have to make sure that when we have miracles, it's kol shechein onu digavar aleinu chazdo. That miracles have to be personalized, times, nations, generations have to say, what did it do for me, and what is it still doing for me? We have to remember from Yerushalayim, from Koresh, that Dodi Shalach Yodom and Achor, that miracles come from unexpected places. And if we're not looking, our eyes aren't open, we're not going to see them. We have to understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring Yeshuos when Klal Yisrael pines for them. When Klal Yisrael can't live without those miracles. We have to learn from Yerushalayim that Yerushalayim, if we look at its events carefully, becomes the roadmap that there are psukim and parshas that only we can understand. And that's what I think this pasuk is saying. The way Chazal viewed it, Mifatel, I will seduce Klal Yisrael. The love that the Kadosh Baruch Hu showed us during the Six-Day War is Anochi Mifatel. Bring us back to our land, Kibbutz Goliath, that we are seeing the nations, the different groups of Jews coming back to Israel, Holachtia Midbar, and then I'll take them through Midbar Yehuda. And I'll give them back Hebron, and I'll give them back parts of the Gush, and I'll give them back Ma'al Edumim, go on and on. V'dibarti Aliba. And then I'm going to have this, these moments with the Jewish people. I'm going to speak to their hearts. And I'm going to show them what I'm doing for them. And I'm going to recreate the love of an old time. And that's what we are meriting to witness. V'dibarti Aliba. Kadosh Baruch Hu saying how much he wants to bring the times of Mashiach. How much it's may I oichila. And he's doing that through Midbar Yehuda, through the events of our time. We should be zocha to celebrate them, be zocha to understand them in their great depth, and be zocha then to merit the quickening of the redemption that we're witnessing. Thank you very much.
Again, I want to thank Neuberger Shlita for his erudition and his inspiration, and to all of the families that contributed to making this year successful, including Yael and Gail Miller, sponsoring today's events. There is a lunch upstairs where Neuberger will continue to discuss another topic, and that is a very important topic in our generation, and that's the challenges and the sacrifices we make for Chinuch in preparation for Shavuot. So that will be as part of the Lunch and Learn. And of course, you're all invited. Thank you very much.